Hey guys, it's Will here, and I've got a quick message for you guys as we go into this episode of Turncloaks. I want to talk to you a little bit about an update for the podcast as a whole and for Encounter Roleplay, which is, of course, what I do for a job. So we have taken on a sponsor for the show. It's pretty exciting for us because it actually secures a fair amount of financial stability for me running this job, Encounter Roleplay, all the Twitch streams, all the podcasts. But it also means that I get to show off to you guys and give you guys a special deal on a bunch of fantastic dice, because we've been sponsored by dndice.co.uk, and they have some incredible dice, some incredible pouches, dice trays as well over there. Now, I didn't want to just take any sponsor for the show and for Encounter Roleplay as a whole. I've actually turned down a fair amount of offers for ads running on the Turncloaks podcast, because really respect the audience that we found here, really respect your guys' time, and didn't want to give you guys something that was, you know, kind of just rubbishy and something that you wouldn't be using. So these dice are something that you guys, I think, will feel and find a great deal of value in. You'll be able to get a 5% discount. There's a link down below. You can use the code EncounterRoleplay in order to get it. Some incredible dice. I suggest you go take a look at the acrylic alchemy dice because they are just beautiful. I've got a set here and my goodness, my friends, they are some of the nicest dice that I've come across. And when I saw them, I thought, you know what? Yes, let's take the sponsorship. These are some dice that you guys can use. These are some dice that you guys are going to love. They do international shipping. You get that 5% discount off there, and it helps keep the show running. And that's the most important thing for us here. On top of all the Twitch live streams we do, the website that we run, the YouTube series that we do as well, on top of these podcasts that we're continuing to expand and do each week for you guys. To take on a sponsorship, to get some stability, and to make sure we can continue to do this for many, many hundreds of years, because we don't want to stop this Turncloak strain. We love you guys as cloakers. Hope you guys check out the link down below, and in the future, these ads will be nice and short for you guys. But love you guys. Stay safe out there, cloakers, and enjoy the episode. Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Turncloaks, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D sex icon. Let's go around the cast and crew, let's figure out who we are, who we're playing today. And let us start with Tall School. How are you doing, Tall School?
Hey, I am Tall School and I am excited for this next episode. There is so much intrigue and stuff going on. And what has Alistair been up to? Speaking of Alistair, he is our resident plague doctor, which is in this low magic world what we call a cleric of the grave. He is a wood elf, and yeah, it's gonna be a interesting episode. Can't wait for it.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. We also have Joseph back with us today. How are you doing, Joseph?
Pretty good. Always excited to get rolling with the episode as per usual. Today I'll be playing Tam, who is the shaggy-haired human ranger of the group.
Awesome. We have Sydney with us today as well. How are you doing, Sydney?
I'm good. You know, I'm just ready to die. I feel it coming. I'm playing Ari. She is a third-level half-elf rogue.
Awesome. And last but not least, we have Josh with us tonight.
Hey, yes, I'm playing Luna. He is a shadow monk and human and level 3, probably also going to die, probably.
Excellent. So to remind you guys what happened last time, very briefly, the group of them are doing deliveries to these four locations for Jasper Wick, which turn out to be black vials. I know to be not medicine at all. They took them to Seraphin and Tiala and Dermish, Tamarin's family, plus Dermish, and told them of what was going on. They then delivered these supplies to Mariana Shermer, and finally ended up at the hospital asking after one Dr. Bowman, who had apparently prescribed these supplies to Mariana Shermer. Luna almost broke in, but Tamarin and Ori managed to subdue him, and instead Ori went in on her own. However, this gentleman Dr. Bowman seems to be under the impression that there are other people here, as she's told him their names, and he's been writing them down on a quill as he sits there in his office. Tamarin and Luna are about 10 feet down the hallway together while Story is inside. To remind you of what Dr. Bowman looks like, he's a guy about in his 50s, craggy face, crooked nose, glasses sit on nose. He has a perfectly ironed and pressed surgeon's outfits on, and he's sitting at his desk with his quill writing down names, and he's just told you that it's time for you to sit down and answer some questions, Ori. So that's where we'll pick up, and I'll give you the line again. He says, oh, it's on the contrary, Ori. It's time for you to sit down and answer me some questions.
She sort of looks down and looks back up and does it. She sits in front of him.
Good. How old are you, Ori?
18.
Scribbles it down. Very kind of short thrusts of the quill as well. There's nothing flowery about his hand. It's just quick and precise. I see. And where do you come from? What is your town or your... looks at you up and down. Village?
Boghaven.
Boghaven. Interesting little place.
It was. Pardon me, I'm not sick. I'm not really in need of a checkup. What is this? What is the purpose of this?
And when did you meet Mr. Vick?
Today.
I see. What did you think of him?
He seemed smart.
Is that all?
Tall.
Smart and tall. Very perceptive.
I pay attention to who needs it. Maybe he didn't.
Oh, witty as well. And your friend, tell me about them. This Charles.
To be truthful, I don't know that much. I'm not even sure if he's really a friend. He's just someone who's there.
Oh, I see. So you travel with him out of necessity rather than any desire.
Not my necessity. His.
Tell me more.
He's weak.
How so?
Old.
Old. Age is a painful mistress. And this Tamarin. Tell me more about him.
A childhood friend.
From Boghaven?
Yes.
Interesting. Now, would you tell me what business your companions have in casting spells outside of my door?
She, like, almost rolls her eyes, and she said, if I knew, I would tell you.
Oh, so that was not planned, then?
No.
You must get whoever that was under your control, then.
I've been trying.
It was this Luna.
Luna? She says that with a question. It was Charles.
I see. And what business does he have casting spells outside of my door? Does he wish me dead? Many do.
I don't think we know enough of you to know what we wish your fate is quite yet.
I was not asking what you as a group thought. I am asking what Charles was thinking.
Well, he hasn't quite told me what he's thinking, and I can't really discern it myself.
Well, that is no way to run an organization such as your own.
I know.
So what are you going to do about it?
I'll try to handle it as diplomatically as I can.
Diplomacy for the weak.
I believe that's on the contrary. The weak act in violence. They can't think past the next step. They want to get rid of the problem as soon as they see it and don't think of the consequences of what they do.
Well, since you are wise for your age as well, Miss Ori. You should not have any problems with him.
I don't intend to.
Good. Then our business here is done.
I'm not allowed to ask you any questions?
You may ask me a question.
What is the purpose of this crate?
To kill people.
What kind of people?
Everyone.
Why?
Are you asking why the crate wants that? Asking why I want that?
Why you want that?
You assume much.
Power means nothing if there's no one to have it over.
Very true.
So then, what's your purpose?
He goes to start scribbling something down. You know, Ori, these crates here, I've never said that I'm going to use them. I just want them.
Like in case?
I suppose you could say some things like that. Yes, an in case.
In case of what? What are you waiting for?
That I cannot tell you.
Are you afraid?
Afraid? Oh, I'm terrified. Truly, I am. Are you not?
I think we all are. I'm just wondering what scares someone like you.
Inevitability.
Of?
Death.
Well, you're a doctor. Aren't you supposed to be able to prolong that as much as possible?
Some of us. Some of us deal in other things. We are not all doctors of the peasants. Keeping them alive is not any of my concern.
I feel like you went into this profession with some ulterior motives then.
No, I had a very clear motive when I became the doctor.
And what is that?
To run this city into the ground.
Why?
Smile sadly. Because I can. Now, that is more than one question. It is time for you to leave, Miss Ori. I thank you for your shipment here. It'll come in handy, as you say.
Well, I thank you for your information that you so willingly gave me. It will come in handy for me as well.
Oh, I'm sure that it will. Send my regards to Mr. Vic for you. And also to the Camperons.
Indeed. And she gets up and starts to walk out. And as she leaves, she turns back and says, "You mentioned that you were terrified?"
We should all be terrified, Ori, for what is coming. Inevitability.
I suggest you remain that way. It keeps you on your toes. Good luck. And she leaves and shuts the door.
You find Luna and Tamron outside.
She goes over to them and says, "I think it's time we go back to the safe house."
Luna doesn't argue.
She looks at Tamron.
"I guess it's time to regroup. We need to speak with Alistair as well."
"Yes, speak with Alistair." And she turns to walk off.
Heading back through the hallways of the hospital, you'll go back through the same door you came with Lena, the secretary. She stops you as you're going and says, "Oh, the doctor, he said he had something to thank you for. Whenever you were to leave, that I should give you this." She hands you a little lockbox, which is ebony. Just hands it to you.
"Am I to open this now?"
"Oh, I have no idea. There isn't a key for it, so..."
She says, "Thank you. We'll be on our way."
"Very good." She lets you go.
And I guess now we're out of the hospital.
Indeed. And heading back to the safe house?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're back, it is dusk, getting towards nightfall. And see the little safe house which Donovar gave to you guys lighter on upstairs. And as you walk back in, Alistair isn't downstairs. Presumably he's up in the bedrooms.
Yeah, so Ari will open the door for them and let Luna and Tam go in ahead of her.
Luna heads in, absolutely knackered.
As she does that, she walks in and slowly starts to pull the door and then just slams it shut and swiftly pivots over to Luna and says, "What the hell is wrong with you?"
Turns around pretty taken aback and, "What are you talking about?"
"You know exactly what I'm talking about. What you did back there. Don't you interrupt me right now. You shut up." And she pulls out her dagger and has it aiming towards you, and her hands are shaking. She is infuriated. And she says, "This whole time, you've been stepping in the way and ruining every plan that we make. You try to follow Donovar when he gets beat up when we're trying to form a relationship with this gang. You step in and start talking about some revolution against them in front of them. You're ridiculous." "What? Weren't thinking? Or were too concerned with your daughter? Because that's obviously not true."
"I would be very careful about what you say next."
"Oh, I think you're the one who needs to be careful. You're the one hunched over like a bag of bones, and I'm the one standing over you with a dagger. Don't interrupt me. Your daughter is missing. Do you hear me? We don't know where she is. We don't know what's happening. And we were given a mission today just to deliver some boxes. And you go in and try and attack someone who's obviously not on our side in front of an entire hospital. Luna, I don't want to see you lose your child. Because I've already been through that. I've lost 20.
Woody doesn't... He has that sort of confused look of not really sure how to respond to that statement. And appraises this 18-year-old girl in front of him.
She bends over and, like, digs into your pocket and pulls out the black phial that you stole. And she says, "This? These were taken to my village, mine and Tam's, when we were children. They were given to everyone. Every child, every single one, including me, including Tamron, lost our parents somehow because of this. And I stepped up. I didn't let them die. I stepped up and I organized them and I made sure that they were safe for 10 years and I couldn't protect them anymore. And I had to lose 20 children. I had to hear their screams while I walked away. I could hear the blades slashing through them. I could hear the sound of their cries and their blood dripping. I had to listen to that. And I'm trying to make sure that you don't have to go through the same exact fate. And you keep stepping on everything that I'm trying to tell you. You never listen. You're a father, Luna. Your child comes first. All of my plans, everything I've told you to do, all of my instructions have put your child first. And you've squandered all of them."
Luna's kind of taken aback entirely, like, and doesn't really know how to respond to all of that, and just sits with his back against the wall, and he can't bring himself to meet her eye.
Ari kneels down to him, still with the dagger sort of at his throat. She's starting to relax a little bit and get a little bit less tense, and she says, "If you put me in another situation where I could lose my life because of your stupidity, this dagger is going to move about 6 inches forward, and it'll be your last day. I've done everything I can to protect you and make sure that you meet back with your child. I don't want her to grow up with no one. And I don't understand why I'm the only one in this group who's trying to protect her from that. Because you're not."
You hear a heavy metallic footfall on the stairs. Something you're not familiar with hearing. Not sure what it might be. Chink, 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 chink. And you first see the shining leg pieces and greaves of a noble's armor at first revealed. And as more and more is revealed, you see the deep blue emblazoned sigils of a noble house upon it. A shield and a bright long sword, polished, gilded. And a face you haven't seen, but for a moment by firelight. A young face, only about 17. There are scars underneath of the eyes, faintly glowing blue, but have healed over. Hair, short cropped, as though it was cut with a razor. And you see Alistair standing before you. I thought I was being so clever. I guess I was scared. First, knowing I couldn't be seen in the mask that everyone would know of the White Crow. I thought this armor could be my new disguise. But it's funny, when you look in mirrors, they sometimes show you or reveal the masks that we all wear. You see, that crow mask was all anyone ever saw of me. It's all I ever saw anymore. But you see, I then realized, underneath it all, even with shining armor, I'm still an elf. And elves are not nobles. I heard what you said, Ori. And you're right. I think we're all guilty of jumping to reactions. Almost reaches down as though he's going to grab Mercy, but Mercy's not there because he's wearing the sword and shield. Wearing this, I don't even have my normal solution to many of my problems. I will follow you, Ori. I will do as you say. And then he looks to Tamrin. As I looked in the mirror and realized the problem, I reached for my normal solution. Ear in one hand, Mercy in the other. And the thought that I contemplated it shook me out of it. I had the blade ready to do what needed to be done, as always I do. But I thought, what would my brother think of me if I did that? And then, of course, the solution immediately came to me of what the answer might be if we needed to have a noble to give us access to somewhere. And he walks over and hands Tam the sword and the shield. You're human.
Tam takes them, staring at the craftsmanship, the glorious work that's been put into them, understanding that he's never touched or been in the presence of anything like this in his life. He looks back at Alistair. One thing that our father told me when I was very young is that the solution to many problems is never in a blade, but in love. I will do what you ask, brother. I will do what all of you ask, if it means that we can stay alive and keep the ones we care about from dying.
Were you able to find any information? This, he points to the regalia, is that of Brynlyn. I was there as the last of the noble house there died out. Perhaps a distant cousin or someone might be here, but I would think they would be far removed and maybe would not be privy to our subterfuge. And he starts to try to get out of it, this armor himself. Lord knows how long it took him to get into it. What news? Did you hear of anyone?
Tam goes to help him take off what bits of the armor he can. We asked about any forces or a representative from Brynlyn that had come, and we got one name, Eric.
With that, as you are helping Alistair, you feel his knees buckle out from underneath of you, and he tries to aim for a chair nearby to sit down. That's impossible. Eric cannot possibly be. this is Eric's armor. It was given to me. And my last act in Brynlyn was to show him mercy. And then you see an anger start to emerge. That is not Eric. It can't be. Whoever has sullied his name will have to answer to me. And now he just starts stripping off the armor and handing it to Tam. It's interesting, though. He does look over to Ari and remembers what he just promised and just looks at her and goes, just tell me how we can do this.
Ari, like, her jaw has dropped from the second she saw you, and you say that, and she just, like, drops this dagger that she's been holding onto the floor, and you hear it clatter. And she takes a moment to sort of collect herself and blink out of this shock and says, well, we're here now. We need to tell each other what we know, and then our next step is to deliver the last crate that we have.
Alistair looks questioning. What crates? What has happened while you were gone? I guess we can do a quick, they fill me in so we don't have to recount it.
Yeah, Ari can tell, recount the tale of everything that's happened, essentially.
Yeah, Ari relays that over to him, and I'm sure Tamron will tell him the specifics of his mother and things like that. And Ari says that the woman that was very sick, I think she's delusional. We couldn't really get her to understand the situation and the circumstances. And we thought that maybe it'd be a good idea for you to try and heal her, but that will have to come much later. Right now, the immediate danger that we're in is being followed by any one of Wick's men, and we need to complete our task.
Yes. And tell me again, your sister, she wants to meet with us as well. Our sister, he's looking at Tam and is trying to wrap his head around it, at the Tanner.
This is... I don't think she wanted my mother to know. And I don't know what she could want to meet about, but... I think it's best if I go alone to this meeting. She seems to be hiding something.
I think that's more reason to not go alone.
If you guys come with me, just don't be seen by her. I want her to share what she has, and I fear that any suspicion that whatever it is could be given up to anyone else would dissuade her from telling me everything.
Ari looks over at Luna, who's still presumably on the ground.
Yeah,
after this.
He hasn't moved.
And she says, well, this could be a time where your spontaneous reactions might come in handy. Maybe you go with Tam, and you stay in the shadows. And if anything happens, if you sense that anything is going to hurt him, you act.
He sort of rubs his face and tries to gather his thoughts, and then he pushes himself slowly up, using the wall to keep himself steady, and he still doesn't meet Ori's gaze, but you have... you have done a better job of watching over my daughter than I have. And that is a shameful thing for me to admit. The least I can do is protect your friend.
So, Ori, you and I... we will go to the temple then.
Yes. And then maybe we make a plan to meet back here?
Yes.
And stick to it.
Alistair sort of laughs. He kind of laughs. He goes, well, I can't wear my mask. I can't wear my overcoat. And I can't wear my armor. I'm going to need something to wear. Looking around at everyone.
Luna sort of takes off his cloak and he very slowly straightens up. And Luna is like a very tall guy. Like, he fully straightens up and you see these tattered sort of monk's robes that are sort of have seen the weather and have been washed far too many times in filthy water at the riverside, and he looks a bit of a mess, but he takes this cloak off and hands it to Alistair and says, we'll all meet back here then and come up with the next step.
If you're not here by midnight, we'll come find you.
You mentioned potentially being followed and that your mother knows of this place. Do we think it is still, that this area is still safe?
They have the individual who gave us this safe house.
Yes, but have we compromised it ourselves?
If they have managed to break Wick, they already know where we are. If anything were to happen, we'd all be in one place. A place they know.
If I recall, Donovar showed us that there's like multiple little sort of like hidey holes and cubbies and all sorts of things. It's a thieves' house, so there's our smuggler's house where things can be sort of...
hidden, yep.
Alistair is going to hide the armor, knowing that two things. One, just a thief would love to get their hands on it, or if someone was looking, and that might potentially be critical for us later. And knowing that...
Yeah, there are planks that you can pull up and hide things in cubby holes and the like around here.
With some trepidation, you see him place the crow mask there as well, and it is... if anyone's watching, it is incredibly hard for him. It's with shaking hands. It has been a long time. And certainly for more than just a few moments for him to... he's acting almost like someone who has been caught naked. This is difficult for him.
And then the two groups of you head out in different directions. Two towards the temple, two towards the tanners.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's follow Tamrin and Luna for a moment as you head through the night towards the tanner shop that your sister Tiala has mentioned that she wanted to meet with you in private at. So you see it open, The Tanner's shop door is actually slightly ajar. There's very few people walking the streets at this hour, and you can avoid any bands of knights that might take issue to your presence out on the streets. Looks like there's one entrance. They're all kind of like, you know, all these buildings are right next to each other, and there is a light on the inside that you can see through the drawn curtains.
Tam cautiously walks up to it, just with his hand on the hilt of his short sword, and looks inside.
You see your sister. She's at a table, and she is watching the door anxiously. She kind of sees you. Tam!
He glances over his shoulder and just kind of nods at Luna, trying his best to be inconspicuous and not let his sister know that anyone is with him.
Is this a nice part of town, or is this not?
It's on the nicer side of town, but it is a tannery, so it does stink of leather in this place.
Okay, but sort of, what's the street like?
The street itself is one very long street upon which the Camperon household is still on. So, you know, it's a nicer side of town.
Okay, in which case Luna will find somewhere sort of dark where he can stay out of sight.
Yeah, okay. So she bids you to come in and close the door, Tamarin, and says, thank you for meeting me here.
Absolutely. Any time I get to spend with my sister is a gift.
Yes, it's been too long. Well, I wanted to talk to you because, in fact, headphones off for the rest of the team. I wanted to talk to you because I don't trust Dermish.
Why not? He seems trustworthy. He's willing to help us to end the plague, to find out what is in those vials.
He says that he does, but I've always found him strange. Maybe it's just because he's with Mother and I don't trust that, but at the same time, I caught him sneaking out once of the house late at night. Something gave me a strange impression around him, and so I followed him. He took me to the Barksdale district. He went inside a big house there. From what I've heard, that's where the gangs are. And you mentioned a crime lord, Jasper Wick?
Yes, a big house with guards outside.
I did some asking around, and that's where he is, so...
And when he left, was he carrying anything? Did he have anything?
I don't think so. Just himself, but he was definitely being sneaky about it. He hadn't told Mother. He didn't see me following him.
Does Mother suspect anything, or is...
No, of course she doesn't. She only sees the best in people, and he's willing to help.
If what you say is true, if we can't trust him... He has one vial already. If we deliver the rest of them to him, he can easily access the water supply. We have to make sure that he's not going to, well, betray us.
That's what I was thinking. If he has one, he is a clever alchemist. Maybe he could make more.
Is there any way that when you get back tonight, you can take it from him?
I could try.
This is something I never expected to have to deal with. Anyone who was worthy of Mother's trust, I assumed I could trust as well.
Me too.
For anything like this to happen is unthinkable.
I agree, but I thought I had to let you know, just in case.
Thank you, I will. We will have to return to Wick at some point to let him know our task is complete.
Yes.
When that happens, I will try and confirm your suspicions. But until then, try and keep that vial out of his hands.
Okay, I will. I'll do my best. I'll head back now.
Thank you, Tiala. And he gets up and embraces her again.
Yeah, she gives you a big hug. I guess I'll head off first.
Right, it's probably best if, well, someone is up in the ranks as you isn't seen with someone like me.
Right. And she kind of lets out a very kind of stressed sigh of relief, and And then she heads out. Get Josh's headphones back on.
A few seconds after Tiala leaves, Tam walks outside and looks for Luna.
Luna steps out in the shadow, unable to sort of overhear the quiet conversation. Just, is everything okay?
We may have a traitor in the house of my family. There is an alchemist there. He claimed that he could find a way to figure out what was in those vials. But my sisters just told me that it's entirely possible that he's working with Wick. If that's true, my family's household has access to the wells. If he can put that in them, city's as good as lost. I've asked my sister to make sure that he doesn't have the vial any longer, but we have to keep the other crate from them. Even if they're in the house, my mother trusts him. She'll let him have access to them. But when we go back to Wick, we have to confirm that he's working with him.
So we have to get that vial back.
Yes.
Where is... which way is your house?
It's just up this road.
Then we should go.
I want to give my sister some time. If we show up now, it might arouse his suspicion. He might choose to act quicker or tell Wick that we've betrayed him. I'm assuming he already knows. My sister knows where we are. She'll be able to find us. For now, we have to hope that she can do what I've asked.
She shouldn't be going in there alone. We should go along. We should check to see if... And then he sighs and sort of catches himself in the act of going sort of brashly ahead with Sank and pulls back from it and says, we should tell the others.
Yes.
All right, so back to the safe house?
Yeah.
All right. So headphones off for Josh and Tam, and headphones on for Sid and Tosquill. So you guys are headed to the temple of the old emperor, correct?
Yes.
This night. Excellent. So you find the large Gothic cathedrals, not unlike to the one at Arkenbury, however, much, much smaller. And at this hour, the doors are still open. They're open all day and all night for anyone who wishes to go in and out. However, the pews inside are empty. From what you can see, there is a priest who is working at the pulpit, and he seems to be practicing some of his communion. He's an older guy, you know, 50s or so, long kind of robes of the practice religion of Penumbra, which is that of the Emperor. And he kind of, and then we will praise. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that we'd have any visitors this late at night. He looks quite happy to see anyone. If you guys, assuming you guys are walking in.
Yeah, I mean, I figure I've got the crate, yeah. And letting Ori take the lead. Because I have the hood of the cloak up, just not, Alistair's weird, feeling weird.
She says, you weren't expecting a delivery today?
Well, not this late. I thought maybe one might have come earlier or in the morning, but I see that you are dedicated to your delivery service. Come. My name is Father Elion. How can I help you all? What might this be? Is this the trout or the medicine?
The medicine.
Righto. How much do I owe you?
You don't owe us anything.
Are you sure? Oh, okay. Well, I thought there might have been a delivery service charge and whatnot. All right. Could you mind give me a hand of those? They look quite heavy.
Of course. I just want to ask you a few questions.
Looks open to the idea. Of course, yes. He takes one of the crates and starts bringing it to his own priestly chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, questions about the faith, dear child?
No, not exactly. I was wondering, who do you intend to give this medicine to? Are they staying here?
Well, no, these will move on. The church donates medicine to hospitals that can't afford it, hospices, children's asylums, and orphanages and the like. We buy them because we have more money than a lot of these places do and send them on there. Kind of brings another crate and puts it into his chambers.
So these are not meant to stay in the city?
Most of them will go to the city. A few of them might go to some outreaching villages and the like, but mostly within Ostwald, yes.
Well, so does that mean you have your own supply and that people that are here also take this medicine? Have you seen its effects?
Well, we buy from all over. You know, any of the alchemists that are selling any medicine will buy from. We don't have one supplier, I suppose. We send it off. We don't do healing here anymore. We haven't done magic in temples for, since before anyone can remember.
Alistair kind of laughs. What alchemist did you purchase this from, if you don't mind me asking? Our deliveries take us many places. Others in need might need the information.
He kind of looks at the order list, which he finds through his papers, and he says, Dervish. A dervish? Yes, I think that, oh my, he kind of puts on some spectacles. Yes, Vorda was a dervish for a second. Yes, dervish. Alchemist of some repute, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Thank you very much for your information.
Welcome, my dear children, and thank you for the medicine.
This medicine is a little bit different. We wanted to make sure it was the one from Dermish. He has refined the formula quite a bit, and we were told to instruct anyone receiving... it's been such a long day. Anyone receiving a box from Dermish was to know that this medicine is only supposed to be used in the dire circumstances because it's much more powerful. So just be extremely careful with who gets this. It's not like the medicine that you've dealt with before. And if you give it to someone who's not in the need of something this powerful, it could be very harmful. So...
Do
you understand?
Well, you have the list, right? The special instructions. You were carrying it, weren't you? Maybe we have instructions. Perhaps you should keep it all here until we bring you the pamphlet, the instructions that go with it. You would hate for it to get distributed.
Right.
Distributed. Alistair's a little flustered. Distributed without the proper instructions, as you know. Medicines can be quite dangerous if not administered correctly. So perhaps keep them here.
Yes.
As you know, we're very good about this. We'll be back soon with the instructions, but...
The hour is late. They won't be going out until tomorrow morning or so. So if you can bring them by then, that would be excellent.
Yes, I mean, as you can see, we're new, so sometimes we leave things behind.
Yes, please don't tell Dervish that we asked for him. Dervish, if you happen to get in touch.
fear not. All are welcome here. Your secret is safe with me. Come back in the morning and we can sort us all out. For now, it is rather late, and I will need some rest. Communion in the morning.
Yes, I saw you rehearsing. Please, be sure to keep it here. We'll try to get you on the route just as early as possible.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Can I, roll an insight check to see if he actually intends on keeping them here?
Sure.
22?
Yeah, he's like an open book. You know, this guy seems pretty doddering and nice.
Ari says, thank you so much for being so kind. You know, we're still learning the ropes a little bit here, but...
No worries. Get yourself some sleep. You deserve it.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. It lets you leave.
Yeah, we walk out and Ari says, so we've got to figure out the next step before tomorrow morning.
Appears so. Back to the safe house.
Yes.
All right, so let's get everyone's headphones back on. The group you all headed back to the safe house in the groups of two that you are going with. As luck would have it, you'll meet back on the way back. Aren't too many roads that lead down to your safe house, so you end up bumping into one another along the way. Good time to share any information, I guess, or you can wait to get back to the safe house if you so desire.
All go according to plan, brother.
We are here unscathed. But we have grave news.
Yes.
As do we.
I think it's best.
I fear it might have to do with the same thing, and it's too sensitive to talk about.
Yes, but
I agree.
I would like to do either investigation or perception to see if we're being followed or if there seems to have been anyone around the safe house, maybe watching the house or anything.
From a perception check?
Six. Alistair is still feeling
exposed. You know, yeah, it's dark out. There are plenty of places to hide in a suburb like this.
Let's make haste back so we can... We're on a timetable, unfortunately, with what we learned.
All right. So you head back to the house. Who is going in first? Who's leading the way?
I'll go in first.
All right. So, Luna, as you step inside, followed by the rest of the group, fire is still on in the hearth. However, you see Tiala, Tamarin's sister, on a chair. Behind her, there is a gentleman who has a knife to her throat. There are two guys with crossbows that are pointed directly at you guys as you walk in through the door. They bear the same tattoos of Wick's men. There are two other gentlemen in the room who also have their swords drawn, and they point hand crossbows on their left arm towards a group of you as you walk in. Same tattoos and the like. And you see another gentleman who you haven't seen before. It's not Jasper Wick. He is a ailing gentleman by the looks of things, because he has a bit of a hunch. Wears a big overcoat and has a lot of golden teeth. Big beard, unkempt, and eyes almost as dark as jet black. Seems to be presiding over this affair. And he says, "Welcome home!" And that's where we'll wrap up tonight's episode of Turn Cloaks. Bum, ba-da-da-dum, bum, bum, bum.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes, indeed. So, we're going to leave it there for tonight. And, of course, we're back next week for more. But let's go around the cast and crew. What are you feeling? Where can we find you guys online? And we'll read out one of your wonderful five-star reviews in just a few moments here. Let's start with Tool School. How are you feeling?
Exposed? yeah, exposed. Is it wrong that I like the doctor? Like, I really like the doctor. I think he's really, really cool.
Yes, that's...
I know that's really that's wrong, really but I think wrong. Alistair and the doctor, other than the fact they're a complete... If Alistair and the doctor cross, that's going to be crazy. But wow, what an episode. What an episode.
Yeah. There's some fanfic for you.
So, yeah, I'm Tall Squall. You can find me all over the internet at Tall Squall. And if you go to my Twitter, you will find links to all the things that I'm involved with. And let me know if you find me in one of my other projects that you came from Turncloaks, so I can say hello. And that's it for me.
Great stuff. Sydney.
I'm scared. I'm scared. But I feel like that was intense all around, and it's about to get even more intense. I'm like shaking in real life. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know what happens. But yeah, I'm Sydney. You can find me pretty much everywhere: Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram at SydneyAck. You can find me on Encounter Roleplay doing things. I'm the Dungeon Master of WonderQuest Podcast, which you can follow on Twitter at WonderQuestPod, and I'm on the D&D channel on Saturdays.
Josh.
Yeah, that was an episode and a half. Damn, some shit went down. Some shit is about to go down. Shit's always going down in Town Cloaks, and I'm not looking forward to this, but hey, I walked in first. That means that I get a free pass, right?
Yeah.
Right, Will?
Sure.
That's how this works.
You get a golden ticket.
Yeah. So, I'm Encounter Josh. You can find me on Encounter Roleplay, doing Encounter Roleplay things.
Joseph.
I know that our listeners can't see my expression, but it is one of absolute defeat. is the best word I can come up for it. Yeah, anyways, I think that's all you need to know about how I'm feeling right now. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast.
Amazing stuff, amazing stuff. Right, I'm going to read out one of these wonderful five-star reviews. This one is a little bit of a long one, but it is lovely, and it's from a man named Richard KL.
Oh, I love him.
Title is, I know, yeah. As a GM would say, fantastic. Everything about this show is top-notch. If you're looking for dark, gritty, story-driven fantasy, this is the place to find it. Each of the four characters gets a backstory that helps turn them into a three-dimensional character that leaps out of the airwaves at you. You discover, for some later than others, how they're all tied together into this adventure in a cruel, unfeeling world, trying to do what they can to stop the Blood Plague. The cast do an excellent job with the character banter and building connections with each other, and maintain the tone of the story throughout. Will, the GM, does a fantastic job of keeping the story moving and bringing elements from earlier episodes back to make it feel like the world has substance and that the characters are moving through a coherent story. The tangents turn into character-building moments, the throwaway NPCs capture your heart, and all the terrible things that happen truly feel like they were chosen specifically to drive the characters to grow closer together, or further apart. The sound editing and music are top-notch. Ambient noise, sound effects, music, reverb that matches the space that the characters are inhabiting. It's all there. And the extraneous chatter, long pauses, rules, lookups, etc. are all removed to leave just the right amount of levity and mechanics to convey the essence of a tabletop game session without the drudgery or goofing off that can take you out of the story. It's also worth noting that the show deals with some truly horrific themes. I cannot express how important it is or how grateful I am that they took the time to address some of the topics that some listeners could find disturbing. I won't spoil it, but I think they handled a very serious topic in a way that was both respectful of the seriousness and cathartic. In this instance, and throughout the rest of the show, the care and earnestness which the cast bring to the show make it one of the most impactful podcasts I've had the pleasure to listen to. If you're up for it, give this show a shot. You won't regret it.
Wow.
Wow.
That's,
oh my God.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Wow. It's awesome to hear. That's so awesome to hear. That's like everything that we're trying to do. So, yeah, we really appreciate it. Appreciate it a lot. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow that if you can. And thank you again to Richard for leaving that for us. We'll be back same time next week. And I can promise you next week is going to be a good one, my friends. Until then, try not to roll too many net ones. Won't it be a laughing when you do.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.